Good afternoon, this is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we have been attacking life and sport since 2001. And last Friday, I had the opportunity to go down to a concussion summit, and I met some very, very high-level people, and we've had a couple of them on the show already. We've had Thomas Jones and some of the athletes, but I thought we'd also, what was beautiful about this particular meeting I went to is it had all aspects of the decision. It had agents, it had players, but it also had medical professionals. And I thought that was a great way to get all the groups into the room to talk about the subject of concussion. And so I have asked Jay Clugston, who is the team physician for the University of Florida, to come on the show today to talk a little bit about the subject of concussion and what it means. Because I think we've all, you know, seen the rise in information, you know, in the marketplace, but what does it really mean? And so with that, Jay, how are you doing today?
Great. Great, Stephen.
Cool.
Appreciate the chance to talk with you.
Absolutely. So let's start off first kind of in a general basis. What is the real kind of the risk, or what is the area that we're looking to address as it relates to youth football?
Well, I think with a lot of our contact sports, we're recognizing that concussions are occurring at a higher rate than we once thought, and we're paying a lot more attention to concussion and brain injury, or brain, sometimes we just call it overall brain trauma, than we used to. And it's probably the incidence of this condition is probably higher than we recognize, because there's not great ways to diagnose it, and a lot of youth and even older athletes that I deal with, despite being educated about concussion, they still don't recognize that they may have one, and sometimes they recognize but don't want to let us know. Some of the numbers out there are that in the U.S. from the CDC is that we have over 3 million these sports-related concussions a year that are reported, and then they mentioned that there's probably many more than that. So it really is a big issue.
Yes, and see, the thing that is amazing about it is that you sit there and in the summit with having the athletes up there, they really are having to make a sort of a conscious decision and be aware of the risks to play the sport. You know, but at the youth level, you don't have such options. Do you see that as something that, how do we get the information out to young people, or is it even needed? Or is it just more of, hey, if you get into this situation, the adults need to be in a better position?
Probably both. I think the more we're aware of it in older adults and parents and coaches, the better, and then the more that our athletes are aware, the better. And kind of teaching the athletes that this is a condition you don't want to tough out. You know, a lot of other things we're taught that it's valuable to train hard and be tough and push through things, but a brain injury is the more we find out, it appears to be different.
Yes. And the thing that's interesting to me is that, so many of the things, like even talking to Thomas, he talked about, well, I got my bell rung, or these kind of things that we just took for granted, you know, as young parents were out there on the football field and we're yelling at our, you know, sixth grader to keep going, and they're seeing stars, is that it really is something to, if you take a step back and look at it, playing or not playing that one game isn't going to make a difference, you know, and it is something to be much more concerned about than just wait till you sit down till you don't see stars anymore, or you can watch your finger, you know, three different directions, you know, like the DWI test, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems that more we find out that anytime you have a trauma to the head or get banged in the head, that there's some jostling and jarring, and that it, you know, what appeared in the past that it didn't seem to matter much, that it probably does. The brain is so complex that when you injure part of it, other areas can step in and help you function and look fairly normal, but yet the injury's still there, and it makes it hard to recognize. And I think in the past we saw that, oh, this person seems to be doing okay now. You know, he's a few minutes out from getting his bell rung, but he seems fine. He can go back in, but we realize now that injury's still there, and it takes time to heal and recover. And if we don't give it the time to heal or recover, we're putting our youth in a situation where they're more susceptible for, you know, a second concussion or even a worse situation. And it appears that it takes a lot less force for these second and third injuries to occur after the first one, especially if they haven't healed.
Exactly. Now, this is another thing, too, that I, you know, in today's world of hyper over information, you know, and you're a parent and you would like more information, it's not as easy as going out to a, you know, on the internet, typing into Google, you know, concussion and getting all the information that you need. There are, you know, as like there was people like yourself and then a couple other professors or research scientists that really there is still discussion about the subject and how to solve it or what is actually happening.
Definitely. And it's in some ways frustrating, in other ways exciting, that here we're dealing with an injury that's been around as long as mankind has hit its head. And yet we're just starting to scratch the surface to learn about it. And I mentioned on Friday that, at least from my perspective, trying to make a diagnosis for these things, it's in some ways frustrating because it's an injury that we really don't know a lot about. I mean, we're just starting to understand the mechanism of it. We don't have a gold standard to diagnose it. We don't have any approved treatments or medications for it. And we really don't have a scientifically proven way to return people, you know, to know that they've fully recovered. We've got a lot of expert opinions, and those are helpful, but it's not, the science isn't up to the level of other sports injuries, say a cruciate ligament injury or an ankle sprain or a shoulder dislocation, a lot of the more common orthopedic injuries where we have a definite knowledge of how to diagnose it, how to treat it, when it's safe to return. We just don't have that with concussion. So that's frustrating. And another topic, if I can bring this up, that we're starting to think more and more about is blows to the head that aren't severe enough to cause a concussion, but could also cause some damage when you add them up over time. And we call those subconcussive blows. And there may be some things to worry about those. You know, if you're banging your head multiple times in a practice or game, but not to the point where you get dysfunction enough to get diagnosed with a concussion, you do this over the course of weeks in a season and many years, there may be some long-term effect of that. So that's scary as well.
It really is a fascinating discussion. I mean, you really can discuss for a very long time. I still even laugh that some of the gentlemen that were discussing on a technical level, they didn't even agree. You know, there were literally, well, what about this? Well, we're looking at it from this perspective. You know what I mean? There really is a lot of open for discussion on this thing.
Definitely. And I think it's going to be that way for many years to come. We're starting to see a little more research dollars flow into concussion-type injuries. I think that will help. There are a lot of people looking at it. But you also have to remember it's the most complex organ that we know of. It's going to take us more time and more effort probably than any other sports condition that we've dealt with in the past.
Fascinating. All right, so now let's kind of move on to, you know, there is high-quality information out there. But again, realizing that there are no gold standards, how would you – let's first of all take it as a youth coach. What would you recommend to youth coaches to become more aware, to – sort of educate themselves a little bit, at least get the basics, and then hopefully have some way of diagnosing so that they don't put their kids back into the game if the situation arises?
Yeah, I think thinking about just a really general definition of a concussion helps you be more able to recognize it and almost look out for it a little more. And I, when I'm on the sideline, I just function with a really basic one, and I say any change in someone's mental status that's related to a hit. It doesn't have to be a hit directly to the head. It can be somewhere else in the body, but that kind of jars the head can be a concussion. And I like to say it's a concussion until we prove otherwise. And these changes can be very subtle. They can be very short-lived. It's a really broad definition of a concussion, but I think it helps you capture a greater number of these injuries, and then you can treat these athletes better. Because you're missing fewer of them, and so that's really a broad definition. But then other things you can do are to try to think about these things ahead of time, maybe. And you would maybe alter a little bit the way you practice in some contact sports. It seems intuitive that if you limit the amount of times you get hit in the head, that you would have fewer of these injuries. But that being said, there's, you know, some belief in that you need to practice how to do your sport and practice some of the techniques that involve hitting or checking, and I can agree with that too. So you kind of have to balance that out. You certainly wouldn't want to do activities that are just mindless knocking in the head or hitting people for no reason. Yeah, I mean, you may want to emphasize more training for physical fitness toughness and mental toughness, as opposed to just being tough, being able to absorb blows. So those are some things you could do, just thinking about how you might practice. Definitely working on technique, so you tackle properly and don't put your head down. Maybe even knowing the athlete's history. So if you've got a kid on your team that's had several of these concussions, you want to really make sure that they are healed up before they're out there and they've had somebody evaluate them. There's some thought that increased fatigue or increased dehydration could make someone a little more susceptible to a concussion. So you can make sure that you're well hydrated or your athletes are well hydrated. Those are kind of primary things to prevent an injury. And then once an injury's occurred, you always want to make sure it's completely recovered to the best that, you know, that healthcare at this point can detect before they go back to play, because they're going to be more susceptible to further injury.
You know, one of the questions that I didn't hear much talk about, and if you could, if there is information around it, but they seem to have done a lot of research recently, like ACL tears and nutrition and the diet that we have. Is there a connection as far as research concerned between diet and how your brain functions and then how it responds when it gets hit?
There may be, and that's getting pretty scientific for me, but I do know that we do at least consider trying to make sure our athletes are getting some omega-3 fatty acids in their diet. There are some products out there that have marketed this as both a treatment for a brain injury and also as a way to prevent or lessen the severity of brain injuries. Like, you have people take these all the time. And so that's out there. There's not a lot of established or standard diet ideas that I'm aware of for concussion at this point. There's probably many ideas about it. The omega-3s do have some data behind them, so that would probably be the leading area right now.
Cool. All right, so now if you're a parent, because this gets you into a whole, because even at the summit, when we had the athlete panel, we had probably there's probably, 7 to 10 guys up there, that have played, and the response ranged from my son will never play to my son is playing and he's getting recruited. I mean, so it really was quite a response, to the question of would you allow your kids to play? So So how do you look at it from a parent standpoint? What would you kind of pass along to parents?
Yeah, I also was impressed by that range of answers that we got up there. there was guys that saying I would do it all over again. You know, it was such a great experience. Yeah. There were some people that said financially it was worth it. And then others said, no way. And they also asked, you know, if you could do a brain scan right now and see what your brain looked like and how that related to concussion damage and what it might predict for the future, would you do it? And that was also a big range. Some of them said, absolutely not. I don't want to know. Other ones said, heck yeah, I want to know right now. So what would I recommend? I have a young, 5-month-old son right now, so the first time in my life I've had to really think about that, but I played football as a youth. I got a lot out of it socially, and you're taught lessons of life and how to cooperate with people and being on a team. There's something valuable to all that. I do think if I could find a similar experiences in another sport, I would probably favor ones where you didn't get as many hits to the head or possibly delaying playing football till my children were a little bit older. Those are
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that particular one, to be honest with you. I mean, in football, you know, they don't need to be playing it in the second grade. You know what I mean? It really, to me, that is one way you could stop and limit in some way.
Yeah. People have talked about doing head counts or hit counts similar to pitch counts and pitching.
Okay.
And we mentioned that at conference too. If we're valuing the elbow and the shoulder enough that we do pitch counts, seems logical to think we ought to do that with the brain, being that's the most important organ we have. So there may be ways to minimize risk and continue playing in these contact sports. That develop over time, and that would be a good thing.
Fascinating. It really is a subject you could really go on for a long time. And it's funny because we were there probably from 10:30 in the morning till, and I had to leave at 7. How long did the conference actually leave or go till on Friday?
I think I was there till about 8. You know, we started around 10 in the morning. But it was really one of the more diverse conferences I've been to because we had so many athletes there, and we got their opinion. We had some legal opinion. We had Lee Steinberg, a famous sports agent there. We had his opinion. So I really enjoyed it. I would like to see more conferences like that.
Yeah, I did too. And you know, and it was fun to hear the debate as well. It wasn't a, you know, pro you know, helmet cuss, you know, conference or something like that, Rydell or something like that. It sponsored it. So it was all pro, you know, play, but don't worry about it type of a scenario. So I thought it was fascinating. I think Jack did a fantastic job putting that together.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Cool.
One thing I didn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one thing I wanted to mention that I didn't was if you're looking for ways to kind of manage a team or be able to pick up a concussion or figure out how to know when a person's recovered. There are some ways that are pretty basic that some parents aren't aware of and some coaches aren't. And there was an international conference last fall in Zurich, and they published their proceedings that came out this spring in several journals. And part of their proceedings includes a testing form that you can evaluate athletes really from age 5 on up for concussion. And then you can kind of follow them out with this testing over time and see when they improve. And that's called the Sports Concussion Assessment Tool. It's their third edition, so they abbreviate it and they say SCAT3, SCAT3. And that's something parents may want to take a look at. If you just do an internet search for SCAT3, you'll come up with this form and some explanations about it. And we use that, at least the components of it, on the college level, and a lot of the components in it are used at the NFL level, NHL level. And that's something that's available to everybody. It takes a little bit of planning because you want to run the kids through this little screening test you know, before season starts, and then you've got to keep the results on file so you can refer to them, you know, if they get injured. But that's something I just want to make people aware of, and that's a real good document to read through.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We talked about it off air, and that is the critical piece. What can we do? Because, like in Minnesota, like I mentioned off air, is that we have the watch the 15-minute, you know, video and then take the 7-step test, and therefore now you're aware of concussions and now you know what to look for. And it really is such a complex, hard to read situation for people like yourself that do it at an elite level. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our young people as well. And I think that, because we'll have that, I'll put that PDF up on our website too, because it really is a cool thing. I think if people do take the time, even as a parent, you could do it on your own kid and then hold it. And if something happens, you can always come back and do the test. So it really has some really cool applications. But one other thing is that if people do have questions, is there a place that people get a hold of you? Because I know that if that's something that's interesting, you know, is that something that you'd like to put out on the table, or would you rather them go to their local provider?
I don't mind putting my contacts out there. You can put it on your website.
Yeah.
And just put my email there.
I
would want to encourage people to go local first, because most areas now, there's people that are predominantly the sports and medicine trained physicians. They've had an extra year and a fellowship, and they've really become knowledgeable in taking care of concussions. Of course, you have your neurology people and other experts too.
Okay.
And most areas have these, and they're pretty helpful, because really to diagnose some of these subtle ones, you want somebody to be able to look at the athlete in person and do a good exam, and then be able to see them back and tell how they've improved. So certainly would want people to seek advice and care in their immediate area if that's available.
Cool. Well, we'll do that. I mean, we'll talk after we get off air what you'd like to put on our site, and we'll definitely get people connected up with you if it does seem to fit the application. And that is the important thing, is I want to let people know that there are people out there that can help, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be like, you know, if there's not somebody in your area that's well-versed and you know, the guy's still trading chickens for his, his medical advice or something like that.
Yeah. You know, there's the CDC has a good website with more information. Search, you know, CDC and concussion. The NFL has a site and some information, I think, called Heads Up. There's also, if you just looked at the American Academy of Neurology or the American Society for Sports Medicine, both of those websites are going to have links to find docs that can take care of concussion and also patient information on it. So I'll talk with you more when we're off air, and we can get some of these sites up there too.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Again, thank you for taking the time today. Hopefully this kind of sets the groundwork for parents and young athletes and young coaches or youth coaches to kind of be more aware and hopefully help kids in the long run.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, Stephen.
Cool.